You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Midnight has passed. And in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
You wake expecting a quiet morning, shower steam on the mirror, the ordinary creak of a hallway floor, and instead the house seems to breathe back at you. That was Lena's November morning in 2008. It began with the sound of water warming in the pipes and ended with the kind of questions that follow you into sleep. By the time she left home that day, she had seen a handprint appear where no hand should be, watched a can of corn hurl itself across the hallway, and locked eyes with a stranger whose pupils glowed the color of embers. Alina lived with her mother in a modest one-story house tucked into a quiet California street. The November sky that morning was low and pewter-colored, the kind that makes everything look a shade older. The house still smelled faintly of the lemon cleanser she'd used a few days before to scrub the bathroom. There was the faint trace of coffee grounds from the kitchen and the soft warmth of the furnace moving through the vents. Her mother was asleep in the back bedroom. Alina liked mornings like this, the hush, the privacy, the slow rituals that made the day hers before anyone else stirred. She padded into the small bathroom to start the shower, turning the hot water knob until the pipes groaned and the spray hissed to life. The bathroom sat immediately off the hall. From her bedroom door, she could see straight into it. She stepped back to her room to fetch a towel. From the corner of her eye, she saw the bathroom door still open, steam beginning to curl lazily out into the hallway. Then she heard it, a clean, definite click thunk. The door swung shut. She froze. It wasn't the slow drift of a loose hinge or the hush of a draft. It was the sound of a door drawn until the latch caught. "Mom," she called, expecting to hear her mother's muffled answer from down the hall. Silence. She called again, louder. Still nothing. Her mother had worked late the night before. She was almost certainly still asleep. Alina waited another second, pulse quickening, then forced a small laugh that didn't quite convince even her. "Probably a draft," she told herself. Old houses did strange things. She wasn't about to startle herself before coffee. She grabbed the towel, flicked off her bedroom light, and went back to the bathroom as though nothing had happened. The door was still closed. She pushed it open, stepped into the fogging room, and shut it behind her. For the length of the shower, everything felt normal again. The drum of water on her shoulders, the fog blooming on the mirror above the sink until her reflection was a pale blur behind condensation. By the time she shut the water off, she'd almost forgotten about the door. Then she pulled the curtain aside, reached for the towel, and froze. On the mirror was a mark, a streak, palm-shaped, dragged downward through the mist the way a handprint sometimes slides down a fogged car window. She thought absurdly of the famous scene in Titanic, the shape of a palm traced in steam-blurred glass. She hadn't touched the mirror. She had scrubbed the bathroom only days before, and she never wiped the glass when it was fogged because it left streaks. Someone, something, had left that mark while she stood inches away behind the shower curtain. Her breath caught in her throat, a pulse thudded in her ears. She backed out of the room so fast her wet feet squeaked against the linoleum. She fled down the hall to her bedroom and slammed the door. Only then did she notice that her light was on. She was almost sure she'd switched it off before she stepped into the shower. The small, simple anomaly, light where there should have been dark, unnerved her, as much as the handprint. She stood staring at the bulb for a long moment as though it might confess to being touched. A few minutes later, she heard her mother stirring. She opened her door, trying to sound casual. "Did you come into my room while I was in the shower?" she asked. Her mother blinked at her, still groggy. "No," she said. "I was asleep." Alina nodded as if that settled it. She decided not to say anything more. She had plans to leave for her boyfriend's house an hour north. She wasn't going to start the day with a ghost story. She dressed quickly, trying to shake off the sense of being watched. Keys, phone, jacket. She just wanted to get out of the house. The hallway that led back toward the bathroom was narrow, lined on one side with open pantry cupboards, stacked with boxed pasta and tall metal cans. She stepped into the hall, still damp-haired from the shower, her shoes dangling from two fingers. Something moved. A family-sized can of corn shot out from the open cupboard as if yanked by an invisible hand and smacked against the wall opposite the pantry. It hit with a flat metallic clang and spun to the floor, missing her shin by a few inches. For an instant, she simply stared at it, mind blank. Then adrenaline punched through her. She bolted back to her bedroom and slammed the door hard enough to rattle the frame. Her mother came hurrying after the noise, knocking on the door. Alina opened it to find herself shaking so badly her teeth chattered. She could barely get the words out. It came out of the cupboard. By itself. Her mother tried to soothe her but looked as puzzled as she felt. It was the first time in Alina's life she'd ever watched an object move with no visible cause. She thought that leaving the house might break the spell of the morning. She forced herself to finish getting ready, grabbed her purse and keys, and stepped outside into the chilly November air. For a while, as she drove the familiar highway north toward her boyfriend's house, she began to calm down. The sky had brightened a little. The radio's soft hum filled the car. The memory of the handprint in the can felt distant, like a dream already fading. She reached a busy intersection on the outskirts of town where three lanes met at a long red light. Far left for turning only, middle for straight through, or left, right for straight through. She eased to a stop in the middle lane, drumming her fingers on the steering wheel as the traffic light hung stubbornly red. When she glanced at the car in the lane to her left, she saw the driver watching her. At first, she thought nothing of it, just another commuter zoning out at the stoplight. Then she noticed his eyes. They glowed. Not the glint of sunlight on a windshield or the reflection of a dashboard display. An unmistakable inner gleam. Red as live embers. For a heartbeat, her mind jumped to the movie Jeepers Creepers, the scene where the creature's stolen eyes glimmer in the dark. Her stomach flipped. She snapped her gaze forward, blinked hard, then risked another glance. The man hadn't moved. He was still staring straight at her. The eyes still burned with that dim red light. She looked away again, heart hammering, trying to convince herself it was a trick of glare. When she looked back a third time, the glow was gone. Just a man now, regarding her with a faint frown, as though wondering why she kept staring at him. The light changed. She pressed the accelerator and drove on, gripping the wheel so tightly her knuckles ached. Whatever she had seen, or thought she had seen, she didn't look at another driver for the rest of the trip. By the time she reached her boyfriend's street, the whole morning felt like a patchwork of unrelated nightmares. A bathroom door that shut on its own, a handprint dragged through steam, a can of corn hurled across a hall, and a stranger's eyes glowing red in broad daylight. She didn't know which explanation frightened her more, that all of it was real, or that none of it was. Her boyfriend's place sat in a quiet neighborhood of single-story ranch houses, the kind with wide porches and dormant rose bushes along the walkway. The normalcy of it was a relief as she pulled into the driveway. The sight of an ordinary front door felt almost like a blessing after the strange morning. He opened the door before she reached the steps. "You look pale," he said, half smiling but frowning at her eyes. "Bad drive." She hesitated. "Just tired," she managed, and smiled the way people smile when they don't want to explain. Inside, the house smelled of laundry detergent and coffee, solidly human scents. They queued up an old comedy movie, made popcorn, tried to fold the day into something ordinary. He asked again later if she was feeling okay, and again she said she was just tired. She didn't mention the handprint on the mirror, the flying can, or the red-eyed man at the light. She didn't want to say the words out loud, saying them might let them back in. For most of the afternoon, she felt safe, but her attention kept drifting toward the hallway mirror that reflected the living room in miniature. Every now and then, she checked it, expecting a shape to slide across the glass. Nothing did. Still, she couldn't relax. When dusk came, she said she should head home before it got too late. The drive south felt longer than the morning trip north. Highway lights rose and fell, each casting its pool of yellow over the wet asphalt. Taillights stretched ahead of her in red chains. Every red gleam reminded her of the man's eyes at the stoplight. She kept her gaze pinned to the road, refusing to glance into the windows of neighboring cars. At home, the porch light spilled a warm cone onto the step. Her mother was in the kitchen stirring tea, the TV on low in the living room. That ordinary domestic scene almost let her exhale. "Anything weird happen after I left?" she asked, trying to sound casual as she slipped her keys onto the hook. Her mother looked up from her mug.
"Weird how?"
"Nothing," Elena said quickly, waving it off. "Forget it." She didn't want to explain, not yet. The house smelled the same as always, lemon cleanser and furnace-warmed air, but she couldn't shake the feeling that something unseen had been watching the place in her absence. That night she left her bedroom lamp on. The soft pool of yellow on the wall felt like a guardrail against whatever might creep in from the dark corners. Sometime after 2 a.m, she half woke with the sensation of weight settling at the foot of her bed. The distinct pull on the mattress that told her someone or something had sat down. Her eyes opened to nothing but the room itself. Dresser, curtains shifting slightly from the heater's breath, the lamp still glowing. No one there. She lay stiff as a statue, listening to her own pulses in her ears until the weight seemed to ease. She turned the lamp up brighter and stayed awake until the gray pre-dawn light softened the edges of the room. In the morning, she decided to test the waters with her mother. Over cereal, she asked, "Do you ever notice things in the house? Doors closing on their own? Stuff out of place?" Her mother gave a little laugh. "You've been watching too many of those ghost shows again." Elena smiled weakly and dropped it. She had hoped irrationally for even a single moment of recognition, some sign that she wasn't the only one sensing changes in the house. Instead, it seemed the strange things were hers alone to witness. The rest of the day, she went about her errands as if nothing had happened, but every reflective surface pulled her eye. Passing a shop window, she half expected to see a smear forming in the glass, the drag of a finger writing a word. At work, she caught herself wiping her palms on her thighs whenever she walked past the restroom mirror, remembering the way that first handprint had looked. That evening, her boyfriend called to check in. She hesitated, then decided to tell him everything in a rush. The bathroom door that latched by itself, the handprint, the pantry can that had shot out across the hallway. Even the man with the ember-bright eyes at the stoplight. There was a pause on the other end of the line. "You've been under a lot of stress," he said finally, voice gentle. "Maybe you just saw things." His tone was kind, but she heard the doubt behind it. "Yeah," she said, forcing a small laugh. "Probably just stress." But when she hung up, her stomach tightened. She had told the truth, and still felt as though she'd sounded unconvincing. That night, she again left the lamp on. Every small house noise, the expansion tick of wood, the heater's soft metallic ping, sounded exaggerated, like whispers just beyond comprehension. Around midnight, she thought she heard a single sharp rattle from the pantry cupboard, one can knocking another. She pulled the blankets to her chin and lay rigid, until the heater kicked on again, drowning the sound in its steady hum. When dawn came, she was exhausted but almost relieved to have made it through an uneventful night. Almost. The next few days passed in a strange, half-normal rhythm. By daylight, the house was just a house, the same narrow hallway with its pantry cupboards, the same lemon-polished bathroom mirror. But when dusk crept in and the corners of the rooms thickened with shadow, her skin prickled as if the air itself shifted. On Thursday, she decided she needed advice from someone who wouldn't laugh. Her Aunt Rosa, a quiet, practical woman who had grown up in the old country, always had a way of talking about faith and superstition without judgment. Alina drove over after work and spilled the whole story at her aunt's kitchen table, the bathroom door closing, the handprint, the can of corn, the red-eyed stranger. She left nothing out. Rosa listened in silence, stirring her tea slowly, the spoon ringing against the ceramic. When Alina finished, she set the spoon down and said, in a measured voice, "If you ever see red in a person's eyes where there should be none, don't stare back. Don't invite it in." Alina tried to laugh, but her aunt's solemn expression stopped her. "Was it evil?" she asked quietly. "I don't know," Rosa said. "But not everything you meet on the road is meant to be met. Sometimes it's better not to look twice." Driving home that evening, Alina kept her gaze fixed straight ahead, avoiding the faces in the passing cars. The advice lingered in her mind like a warning bell. That night, she showered early, determined to make it an ordinary evening. She scrubbed the fogged mirror dry before stepping in, as if to reclaim the glass from whatever unseen hand had claimed it before. The bathroom light buzzed faintly overhead. She listened to the ordinary sounds as the water striking tile, the hum of the heater, trying to remind herself that this was her house, her space. Afterward, she padded down the hall toward her bedroom, towel wrapped around her hair. The pantry cupboard stood open as always. She slowed her steps, waiting for some unseen force to fling another can across her path. Nothing moved. She almost laughed at herself, but later, lying in bed with the bedside lamp still glowing, she heard it again. That faint pressure of the mattress dipping near her feet, as if someone had perched there. She jerked upright. The air was empty, but the blanket bore the impression of a weight that had already shifted away. She didn't sleep. She sat with her knees drawn up, staring at the strip of hallway light beneath her door until it blurred. In the morning, she asked her mother again, trying to sound casual, whether she'd ever heard or seen anything odd in the house. Her mother shook her head, smiling at the question as if it were a joke. "You've got an overactive imagination," she said. Alina smiled back but felt a deeper chill in her chest. If it wasn't imagination, then it was hers to bear alone. That weekend, she drove north again to see her boyfriend, grateful for the easy distraction of his company. For a few hours, the world felt ordinary. Takeout food, a rented movie, quiet laughter. But as dusk settled and shadows pooled in the corners of the room, she felt that prickling awareness at the back of her neck. The sensation of being watched by something just outside the frame. On the drive home, the highway stretched ahead in wet black ribbons under the yellow lamps. She kept her eyes locked on the center lines, refusing to glance at the neighboring cars. Every taillight's red glow made her jaw tighten. She didn't see the red-eyed man again, but she didn't trust that he was gone. At the house, her mother was already asleep. The rooms lay in a hush that felt too deep, as though holding its breath. She moved quietly, setting her keys on the counter, not turning on any extra lights, but as she passed the hallway pantry, a single can shifted with a dull scrape against the shelf. She froze, mid-step, waiting. Nothing else moved. Slowly, she kept walking. That night, she tried sleeping with every light in her room blazing. But somewhere past 2 a.m, she thought she heard a whisper of breath against the bathroom door, a slow exhale too soft to be the heater's sigh. She lay rigid until dawn, when the first streak of sunlight broke the edges of the curtains. In the weeks that followed, nothing quite as dramatic as the flying can or the red-eyed stranger returned, but the house never again felt completely empty. The fogged mirror stayed streak-free, yet she avoided looking into it too long. Some nights she still felt the mattress dip near her feet, and once in a while the pantry rattled with a single unexplained clink. Her mother never heard any of it. Even now, years later, she thinks back to that November morning. The memory of the wet palm sliding down the steamed mirror still rises in her mind without warning. And whenever she finds herself stopped at a red light, she resists the urge to glance at the driver beside her. She has learned that some things on the road are better left unseen. There's an unease that clings to her, the sense that the events of that single day were only the surface of something that still waits in the quiet hours. She can't prove it, and most people wouldn't believe it, but every now and then she catches the feeling that she's not alone in her own home. The ordinary creaks of wood and soft hum of appliances carry a little more weight, as if they belong to someone else breathing alongside her. Maybe the strangest part is that she never felt hatred in the house itself. Whatever dark presence she sensed seemed to come from outside, stepping in only long enough to leave its marks, a handprint in the mist, a dent in a mattress, a set of eyes at a stoplight. It left her wondering, which was more terrifying, a haunted house or a world where the haunting follows you wherever you go? Sometimes hauntings aren't tied to walls or floorboards at all. Sometimes they travel light, attached to a moment, a look, a breath caught in the steam on a mirror. Alina still can't say what she saw that day, only that the image remains. A fogged bathroom mirror streaked by an unseen hand, a can of corn propelled by nothing she could see, and the face of a man staring at her through a windshield with eyes that glowed the color of fire. And if you've ever thought the morning routine was safe, that the first hours of daylight belonged to you alone, her story is a reminder that the boundary between the ordinary and the unexplainable can collapse in seconds. And sometimes the memory stays long after the steam on the glass has faded.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to...
get your bag!
Two ways to peel for a chance to...
get your bag!
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to...
get your bag!
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.